Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
Welcome to the Buckeye Advisor with your host, Woody Bowling. Woody is a fiduciary licensed financial advisor and Medicare expert who always places your needs first. Woody works hard each day to educate Americans like you on how to reach the financial freedom they've worked so hard for. And he can help you too. So now let's start the show. Here's Woody Bowling.
And welcome to the Buckeye Advisor live and on the air here in Dayton, Ohio for the first time. Exciting stuff. I'm Sam Davis, joined by the Buckeye Advisor, Woody Bowling. Woody, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Sam. Welcome and thank you for having me.
Man, we're so lucky to have you on the air. We're going to be bringing such important information to people in the Dayton area and all of Ohio. You know, being prepared for retirement, being prepared for what's next is something that you're really passionate about. So I just want to start the show today. We're here at episode one, you know, get to know you, Woody, and who is the Buckeye Advisor?
Well, as the name would imply, I am an Ohio State fan. Let's just get that out of the way right away, Sam. And for those of you that are not, I won't hold that against you. And I ask you to do the same for me. I am super happy. I'm a lifelong resident of the area, born in Miami Valley Hospital, believe it or not. And after a very successful run in the mortgage business that encompassed about 18 years or so, when the subprime lending industry blew up at that time in the late 2000s, I was actually a regional vice president of one of the largest subprime lending operations in the country. And I ran one of their regional operations centers in Cincinnati. So when that all blew up, I was also in the middle of a divorce, believe it or not. So not good timing. And my twin girls, who are now 26, were 9 at the time. And I had the opportunity to be relocated and I was headhunted by others. I decided to abandon the mortgage industry entirely so I could stay close by my girls. And I looked at the insurance industry and the investment industry both. And I really saw a need because so many people I talked to were unsure about the future. The stock market at that time was coming down hard. The insurance industry was in upheaval because people didn't know where to go to get the right Medicare coverage and so many other things that people didn't understand. There's a lot of industry jargon, but they really wanted some clear, concise communication so they could understand how and where to go for the right information so they could really decide what was right for themselves. I just decided to seize on that opportunity. And it was a very difficult move at the time because it just took a while to really understand and get the traction in a new industry altogether. But, you know, I'm very thankful and blessed that after the first few years, it really took off. And now it's elevated to the level where I can come on the radio and share my vision and share my information and knowledge with folks so that they actually can feel like they've got somebody that can help them in more than just one way. And I think the unique thing that I do, Sam, is I really try to understand their entire picture, not just investments, not just insurance, but to really understand both and how Medicare and having that right plan can affect them in the long term to save them money that can also help preserve those investments that they work so hard to build over their lifetime. And once they're built, you know, the objective is to really maintain that, and it's not necessarily to continue to grow it at a monstrous pace anymore, but it's also to really preserve those so that they can be used in a comfortable retirement.
Yeah, and it's such important information and assistance that you're able to provide people. And I think it's important that you said that not everybody's situation is the same. Every one of you out there listening to this episode here of the Buckeye Advisor has a different financial situation. So Woody, how do you approach things when someone comes to you knowing that everybody's situation is different? How do you start to get a plan in place, you know, start to understand them and plan out their future?
Yeah, great question, Sam. I mean, I think what you said is so crucial for people to understand. People say, well, if I don't have $1 million, he doesn't want to talk to me. Or if I don't have 500,000, he doesn't want to talk to me. That's couldn't be further from the truth. And, you know, the crucial thing that people need to understand is every dollar is important in retirement, whether it's what you're spending, what you're saving, what you've already made and you're trying to preserve. So, you know, the first thing we're going to do is we're just going to sit down and we're going to have a conversation. I'm going to ask a lot of questions just to really make some notes and fully understand where you are at what stage. Are you still working? You're thinking about retiring in the next 3 or 4 years? Are you getting ready to turn 65 and you need to really understand Medicare? And also you've got a 401k. You need to really understand what's the best place to put that. So the first meeting is just simply information gathering so that I can go back and do research based on that information. I also have tools available to me that I will share with clients about their risk, how much risk they can actually tolerate. And it's funny, I sit with people and they say, well, I don't really want a lot of risk. And then when I look at their portfolio and what they actually have, there is a ton of risk and it's all overlapping between a bunch of different mutual funds. And they really didn't understand it because it wasn't explained. So, you know, that's the part about the process. It is a process. You know, step one is really gathering information. Step two is, hey, now that I've done some research, here are some things to consider, some possible alternatives, some strategies that we may want to implement to protect some, if not all, of your portfolio and to really understand where you're going, you know, in the future, because we all need a plan, but also we need to be able to be flexible in that plan when we execute it, because, you know, what we've learned over a lifetime is things are going to change and we have to be ready for that.
Yeah. And I think it's important to say that no matter how much money you have, the money you have is important to you and you want to do your best to protect it and grow it because people are living longer. That's one of the things that we'll talk about throughout these episodes of the Buckeye Advisor. And often people's retirements are stretching for a period of time, almost as long as they spent working in their professional career. So you really need a plan that's going to be able to outlast that entire retirement. And, you know, we have some serious conversations when we do this show as well. You know, one thing that people fear more than anything else is running out of money. You know, seniors, people in retirement surveyed, they fear running out of money more than death itself. And I always make the comparison to health and wealth. It's kind of these two areas that are so important to each and every one of us. You want to have the best health that you can, and you want your wealth to be in the best place that you can possibly have it. But there are two different topics that we're kind of nervous to talk about at times. We're hesitant to seek out professional advice. So I think that's why it's so great that you're here on the radio now, each and every week here in the Dayton area. And important to note that this show, The Buckeye Advisor, if you miss part of the show, it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. So you can go on demand, listen to all of our episodes. But we're excited to bring some important information to you each and every week. And one of those challenges that's facing everyone that's in retirement or about to enter retirement, or even if you're young and still working, inflation is one of the challenges that everybody's facing, especially over the last couple of years, right, Woody?
Very, very true. It's a great point, Sam. And, you know, when we talk about inflation, I wish it was simply a matter of the how much air you have in one of your tires and you just need to get a little bit more so you could increase your gas mileage. But unfortunately, it's not that simple. Inflation has reared its ugly head after several years of being pretty much hidden. I don't want to say completely hidden, but behind the scenes, inflation's always been there and it's always been lurking. It just hasn't been as ominous and in the forefront as it has been the last year or so. And it's interesting that, Sam, this week I saw where Janet Yellen actually admitted that she was wrong last May in 2021 when she said something to the effect of, we do see inflation. We don't think it's going to be a problem. We think it's going to be manageable. And for someone in Janet Yellen's role in the Federal Reserve and Treasury Department to actually say, I made a mistake, we misspoke, we didn't realize the severity of it, that's a big deal. So, you know, inflation is a challenge, and 2% inflation versus what we've seen over the last few months, you know, it's startling. I saw this week that Tyson Foods, which is the number one maker of U.S. meats, and according to their most recent results, beef was up during the most recent quarter 24%, chicken 14%, and pork 11%. Those are some startling numbers. And people going to the store, they realize that it's not a joke, that it's a serious matter, because when you go to the checkout line, whether you're doing it yourself or whether you're actually using a cashier, as I prefer to do, because if I'm going to pay the money, I want somebody to bag the groceries, right? Inflation is real, and it's a serious issue for retirees, not only retirees, but also other folks, just other folks that are still doing their thing and working and trying to raise a family. It's when people have to decide, do I want to cut back on the meals that we feed our family or that my wife and I or my spouse and I eat, or do we want to put more gas in the car? That's a difficult decision.
Absolutely. And, you know, it kind of getting into what inflation is, you know, in essence, it's just losing buying power. When there's more currency in circulation, each individual dollar means a little bit less. And the, you know, kind of the dinger on it is that it tends to hit where we need it the most. So if it's food or healthcare, or I don't need to tell anybody that you're paying a little bit more at the pump lately, or housing, that's where inflation tends to hit the hardest. And, you know, we have a couple examples of just over the last 30 years from 1991 approximately to now, how prices have changed. And because gasoline is kind of on all of our minds, we'll start there. 1991 average price for an unleaded gallon of gas, $1.14. And today it's a lot closer to $4.50, at least here where I'm at.
Sure is. 467 was a number that I saw a couple of days ago.
Crazy. And, you know, the vehicles that run on these gasoline, you know, 1991 new pickup truck, $15,000. Today, you'll be paying at least $40,000 for a new truck. Housing, something that is essential for us to live. Average price of a home, $145,000 30 years ago. Today, $450,000. And so that presents a challenge. What do you do when the minimum wage over that period has only gone from $4.25 to $7.25? A lot of young people have to seek out an education, you know, seek out a trade to kind of advance themselves to become higher earners. But education has been subject to inflation as well. So inflation is really one of the big challenges that we're facing. And we want to take a moment and just air this story about inflation regarding, you know, how it's affecting pre-retirees and retirees. So take a listen to this story, and we'll be back in a moment.
Is your retirement plan built to withstand ongoing inflation? I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network. Hear that? It's the sound of prices launching into the stratosphere. Inflation is now at the highest point in 40 years, with the benchmark consumer price index climbing 8.5% in March. Energy prices, especially gas, accounted for much of the increase. Inflation affects all of us in different ways. MarketWatch reports that older Americans may not feel the pain of those higher gas prices if they don't have a car, or higher home prices if they don't plan to buy a home. But where retirees are feeling the pain across the board, food prices. For example, chicken prices recently rose more than 13%. It's especially tough for seniors on a fixed income like Social Security. The program does have a cost of living increase built in, but payments only go up once a year.
Their COLA, or their cost of living adjustment, isn't keeping up with those other rising costs.
Mary Johnson of the Senior Citizens League recently told PBS NewsHour, seniors are not just feeling the pain at the grocery store, but also when it comes to paying premiums for Medicare Part B. It recently jumped by $20 a month.
Medicare Part B has increased over the years three times faster than the annual Social Security COLA. And that's been true for decades.
But prices then did not go up as much as they are now. Inflation has increased so much lately that some of the foremost experts on senior savings and spending are changing their recommendations. Like Bill Bengen, who devised the so-called 4% rule in the mid-90s. He used to advise seniors to spend 4% of their savings or investments in the first year of retirement and then adjust upward each year after that. But now he tells the Wall Street Journal that older Americans need to cut their spending now to avoid running out of money in retirement. Bengen is feeling the pain himself. He told the Journal, quote, "I won't eat in restaurants as much. I live a fairly simple life. I don't take a lot of trips, and I'm happy with a deck of cards and three other bridge players," end quote. But how long will inflation last? Well, economists don't really seem to agree on that, so you should probably be prepared for just about anything. After all, as Yogi Berra once said, forecasts are difficult, especially about the future. Are you properly budgeting and planning for retirement? That is a key question to consider as prices continue to launch to new heights. With the Retirement.Radio Network, I'm Matt McClure.
So I hope that story gave some, you know, more information and context regarding inflation and how it's affecting each and every one of us as Americans. You know, so Woody, kind of the challenge becomes, how do we combat inflation? You know, we're going to get a little bit of help in retirement with Social Security. For most people, Social Security is a sizable part of their income plan during retirement. And if you don't know, Social Security, you get an annual, most of the time, an annual cost of living adjustment associated with that to kind of help protect you from inflation. But like I said, it's only a part of people's income plan. So what can people do to kind of combat inflation with the rest of their portfolio?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a difficult problem. And you know, if you're a pre-retiree or you're a retiree, you're coming up closely upon it, you know, when you devise a plan and you see yourself stopping to work at a certain time in life, you don't really want to go back into the workforce, or at least most of the clients that I work with don't want to go back unless it's necessity. And that's where inflation is a huge concern. But there are certain vehicles for a portion of your portfolio. And as you listen to our show over the next few episodes, you're going to hear me talk about buckets of money. And, you know, when I look at someone's overall portfolio of savings, you know, part of it needs to be principal protected. What part of that or what percentage of that is certainly going to be on an individual basis. And that's an amount or a percentage that we can agree to together. Certainly there's no one size fits all in this category for sure. But, you know, when you're protecting the principal and you're in a down market, at least some of your money is protected from those downward pressures in the market. And, you know, my clients, I like to believe they sleep well knowing that at least a certain percentage of their investments, of their savings that they've worked so hard to accumulate, are actually principal protected. So they also have the ability when the market is rising to share in the gains. And a fixed indexed annuity is the actual vehicle for sometimes that it's a perfect fit in some cases for clients. Again, for part of their savings. It's not for everything. It's not a one size fits all. There are cases that I've run into where I sat with people and they had X number of dollars in savings and 90% of it was in an annuity that someone put them in many years ago. That's not the right fit. So with inflation, you got to be careful. Sometimes it takes, you know, from 2002 when the market bottomed out to 2007, it took between 4 and 5 years for the market to recover from where it was in 2002. That's a long time. And historically, if you're coming into retirement and the market has 3 or 4 down years in a row, the difference is tremendous because a lot of times people begin to start pulling from their retirement right away. Because as you said, Social Security, when Social Security was originally set up, the average lifespan in the United States was about 60 or 61 years old. that's the amazing difference that a few decades will make. And like you said, longevity is a concern. I've got clients that tell me, Woody, I don't think I'm going to live to be past 75 because of a poor health history in their family or even younger. And then I've got clients that say, look, my mom's, you know, especially lady clients, my mom died at 95. I'm 70 or I'm 68. My grandmother, same age. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. And inflation is a horrible thing to worry about. But when you protect some of the portfolio, you're going to, you know, buffer yourself from the portion of your investment savings that is in the market. But we're going to have models available also where we're going to try to minimize the downside of the market turbulence as well.
So let's talk a little bit more about fixed indexed annuities, because there are so many different types of annuities out there. And in the next segment, we'll get into those a little bit more, but we want to focus on fixed indexed annuities with the time left we have here in segment one. Sometimes they're called FIAs. So what makes them different and why are they a good option?
You know, an FIA or a fixed indexed annuity, it's designed to really, originally you can use the term hybrid as well, because it's a blending together of a couple of different types of annuities that we'll get into later. But really the ultimate goal of a fixed indexed annuity is to really protect principal, but at the same time, give someone the opportunity to share in the gains or the upside potential of a particular index that the insurance company has designated to follow on that particular plan. So you'll have things to choose from like the S&P 500, and there are other indexes out there. I use other different ones depending on the company, depending on the client. So really, if the index goes up 1 year from now or 2 years from now, if it goes up 20%, you know, you're going to share in that gain depending upon how the annuity contract reads. So the goal is to give a buffer for principal protection, as well as also some growth. We, you know, if the money's sitting in the bank right now, you're getting zero almost. If you're in a 1 year CD or a 5 year CD or 2 year CD, you're getting zero almost. So really, you know, in retirement, you want to protect principal, but you also still need some growth. And that's the most important thing, because the cost of living, whether it's 2% or whether it's 5%, you still need to make some money.
Yeah. So protection and growth, those are kind of the two key words. And to go back to what we were just talking about with lifespans, you know, you said the average age when they sort of started Social Security, people passed away in their mid to early 60s. I took a trip to Savannah, Georgia a couple months ago, and I had the opportunity to walk through some of the old graveyards there. And many adults, you know, lived a full life into their late 30s or early 40s on some of those headstones. And it's hard to imagine that that was a full life back then. But today, people, especially women, are living well into their 90s. People above the age of 100, I believe they call them centenarians. It's one of the fastest growing groups of Americans out there. So people are living longer. So what is retirement? Retirement, you know, we don't like to think of it as a finish line, but really the next starting line for people in their lives. But what it really means is that you're not working anymore. So you need a new income plan to continue to pay for your expenses, expenses that are ever more expensive, like we just talked about, because of inflation. So protecting and growing, those are two very important things, because that growth will kind of allow you to combat that ever more expensive world, right?
Exactly. You know, and the income piece cannot be understated, because for the vast majority of folks out there, Social Security is not enough. Traditional pension plans where you work 30 years, you get a certain pension every month. I've got some clients that were fortunate enough to be in that type of employment situation, but most people today don't have that any longer. So the companies, the employers, the big corporations, they find it to be advantageous, because all they've got to do is say it's on you, Mr. and Mrs. Employee. You choose your 401k, you set it up, you contribute, we'll match a certain portion, and then it's on you. So we don't have that burden of paying you X number of dollars a month in retirement that we saw back in the old days in the 60s, 70s, 50s, 70s, and 80s. So It's all been put on the consumer. It's all been put on the employee to do their best. So what I find is people don't understand exactly where their money is distributed in the 401k. They really don't know if they're overlapping. They just really just don't know. They'll make their choices and forget it. And target funds in a 401k is a whole nother subject we don't have time to go into right now that are not great things for people, but very, very important information.
So if you want to get in touch with Woody Bowling, the Buckeye Advisor, just simply head over to thebuckeyeadvisor.com and you can learn more there. Reach out and Woody would be happy to talk to you and get the conversation started about building your plan for your future. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about annuities. We're going to play an audiobook chapter and we're going to learn a little bit about some famous people who invested in annuities. The Buckeye Advisor will be right back.
Miss part of today's show? The Buckeye Advisor is available wherever you listen to podcasts and online at thebuckeyeadvisor.com.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.
And welcome back to the Buckeye Advisor. I'm Sam Davis, joined by Woody Bowling. Woody, we're in the middle of our first episode here on the air in Dayton. Excited to be on the air in the state of Ohio. How are you doing?
Doing well, Sam. I am super stoked for segment two. We've got some great information for the folks out here that are listening. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are going to take some information from this and want to tell a friend, a relative, about it, because it's just that important.
Yep. And you can get in touch with Woody anytime just by going online to thebuckeyeadvisor.com. That's thebuckeyeadvisor.com. And I can also give you a phone number real quick, 937-974-6201. One more time, the phone number for Woody, the Buckeye Advisor, 937-974-6201. 6201. And Woody, we wanted to get segment two started with a segment. You had an idea for a segment, Dad Joke of the Week. And because I'm not a dad, at least not yet, I can't write this segment. So what do you got for us?
So Sam, I think people, as they get to know me, I do have a sense of humor. It can be good. It can be corny, but it's fun. And I think each day we need to laugh a little bit. It keeps us all sane. But I think I'm going to lead off in our first dad joke with, Sam, what do you call a belt made of watches?
What do you call a belt made of watches? I don't know. What do you got?
A waste of time.
All right. A waste of time. You know, that could be a pretty expensive belt, depending on what kind of watches they were.
It's not a Rolex belt, I don't think. We might stick to Timex.
All right. Dad joke of the week, episode one. We've got a waste of time. I like it. So before the break, we were talking about annuities, specifically fixed indexed annuities. And we promised we would play a chapter about some famous people who invested in annuities, because annuities aren't a new concept. They've been around for years and years. So let's go ahead and play that chapter of the famous people who invested in annuities.
Chapter three, famous people who invested a significant amount of their hard-earned wealth in annuities. Big idea. Annuities are for everyone. Even if you're not worried about outliving your wealth, annuities are safer for your money than investing in stocks or bonds or simply not investing at all. Babe Ruth. Known as the Sultan of SWAT, Babe Ruth came into his glory days during the Roaring Twenties, and his manager was worried that he was blowing through all of his money without putting any of it away. He introduced Babe to an insurance agent from the Equitable Insurance Company, now AXA Equitable. From 1923 to 1929, the slugger contributed more than half of his salary annually, purchasing between $35,000 and $50,000 worth of annuities each year. The Great Depression hit the country hard in October of 1929. Babe Ruth was forced to retire from baseball in 1935 due to health reasons. He was unemployed during the worst time in history, but Babe Ruth had his income annuity. It's been reported that he received an income of $17,500 a year, which would translate into an annual salary of more than $290,000 in today's dollars. His famous quote still resonates today. He said, "I may take risks in life, but I will never risk my money. I use annuities, and I never have to worry about my money." Steve Young. Steve Young was signed out of Brigham Young University into a $40 million contract with the USFL. That was the headline, at least. In reality, Young was given an annuity that would pay out something like $40 million over the 50 years that followed. Given the fact that some players were not paid for playing in the final season or other seasons of the USFL, accepting the annuity appears to have been a genius move on the part of either Young or his agent. The annuity payments have lasted longer than the league, and it's safe to say that he's made more money than probably anyone else involved with the league. To be fair, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Even with a large signing bonus and salary, he continued to wear old jeans and drive a 19-year-old Oldsmobile Dynamic. In addition to outlasting the league, that annuity even outlasted the Oldsmobile Car Company. With a staggering number of pro athletes going broke after they retire, it's refreshing to read stories about players who made smart financial choices. Shaquille O'Neal. One player who's used annuities to his advantage is retired star Shaquille O'Neal. Over his 19-year career, he generated $292 million in total compensation. In retirement, he is projected to make as much as $1 billion from endorsements even after his career is long over. Thanks to a wise agent who made him put $1 million annually into annuities from his rookie year onward, Shaq lives off the income the annuity generates with his endorsement legacy for his children. Shaq's scenario demonstrates how pro athletes and other prodigious earners can protect themselves against their own personal spending errors. Allen Iverson. NBA player Allen Iverson earned $200 million during his career, $155 million in salary, and $40 to $50 million in endorsement deals. Iverson ended up going bankrupt because of his overly lavish lifestyle. In a December 2012 court filing, Iverson told the court that his monthly income was $62,500, but his expenses were $360,000. Luckily for Iverson, Reebok saved him from becoming destitute by paying him an annuity worth $2.3 million. In 2001, Iverson made a very smart decision that would ultimately save him. He signed a unique endorsement deal with Reebok. Not only will Reebok pay Iverson $800,000 a year for life, they set aside a $32 million trust fund that he can begin accessing when he turns 55 years old in 2030. Since he divorced his wife in 2013, he will receive half of the trust. Another way that Iverson will be able to protect himself against future bankruptcy is his access to the NBA pension. He is eligible for another $8,000 a month. The lump sum of this pension is between $1.5 and $1.8 million. Most pensions are set up with single premium immediate annuities. Benjamin Franklin. When Benjamin Franklin died, he requested that the 2,000 sterling he earned as the governor of Pennsylvania from 1785 to 1788 be divided equally between Boston and Pennsylvania. He wanted the money to be dispersed as a legacy. 200 years later, in the spring of 1990, the balance in the Philadelphia account was valued at approximately $2 million, and the balance in the Boston Trust was about $4.5 million. This was sometimes called Franklin's IRA. The money in the Boston Trust was invested using a new take on an old idea, the annuity. Using a tax-deferred index variety, the money was able to benefit from exposure to stock market growth without stock market loss. This allowed the trustees of the Franklin Institute in Boston to turn an estimated $4,400 into $4.5 million, even while it was paying out an income for 200 years. Beethoven. The social luminaries of Vienna wanted to keep Ludwig von Beethoven from leaving their country. And so in 1809, two princes and an archduke guaranteed the musician a generous annuity. All he had to do was stay in Vienna and compose and perform his music. His benefactors have supposedly been quoted as saying something along the lines of, "Only a man free of worries can create with such genius." interestingly enough, Vienna also saw its time of economic downturn, and one of the annuity's guarantors tried to stop paying Beethoven, claiming financial hardship. Beethoven sued, won, and continued to receive his annuity payments. Perhaps this is what inspired the literary genius of Jane Austen, whose character Fanny observes in Sense and Sensibility. People always live forever when there is an annuity to be paid. An annuity is serious business. It comes over and over every year, and there is no getting rid of it.
So we hope you enjoyed that chapter about famous people who invested in annuities. Exciting stuff. Babe Ruth, Allen Iverson, Beethoven, and others. We want to explain how, you know, there are many different types of annuities out there. You know, the annuities that are available today are way different than the annuity that Ben Franklin invested in the 1700s. So, Woody, I was hoping you could go through some different types of annuities that are out there and let people know what you can do.
Yeah, Sam, you know, it's super important information because annuities, like you said, have been around for, in some cases, hundreds of years. And, it's because there is security in an annuity. That's the original premise behind an annuity, is the security of perhaps getting an income stream at some point from that money that you put into the annuity. So, you know, you've got a couple of different kinds. You've got a plain vanilla, I call it a plain vanilla fixed annuity. It's really designed more to be like a bank CD. So the insurance companies are the ones that issue annuities. And so I work with highly rated several different insurance companies. They are the ones that issue annuities, and only insurance companies can do that. So the plain vanilla fixed annuity is just simply you put the money there. You're going to commit to maybe a 2 or 3 year term, maybe even up to 5 years. And they're going to give you a guaranteed rate of return. It's probably not going to be too exciting. And they are probably not going to want you to pull the money out during that duration. They may give you limited access, but that's really just pretty straightforward. It's a fixed annuity. Just, you know, hey, we want to park the money there, and we're going to be comfortable with a little bit of growth, but not a lot. And so, you know, plain vanilla is what I like to refer to it as. Then you have something I run into a lot, and you run into a variable annuity. A variable annuity, really, it's variable. The term just means simply that it can change, and the value of that annuity can fluctuate. And variable annuities have been heavily marketed across our country for the last 20 years, 25 years, and not always, you know, to the best interest of the client. And as a fiduciary advisor, I have a responsibility for my clients to do what's in their best interest and put that interest ahead of all else. A variable annuity is the underlying sub-accounts are going to consist of mutual funds. And as we know, if you have a 401k or an IRA with mutual funds, you know the value can go up and down with the market. And so, you know, they've also been presented as a potential income stream down the road for people. But, you know, studies have shown, Sam, that 90% of the people never begin the guaranteed monthly lifetime benefit with income. But they're paying in the variable annuities. I've seen people that are paying between 3% and 4%, 4.5% even. And those fees are for M&E expenses and for fund expenses and rider expenses for that income rider. So if you're not going to use it, don't pay for it. So, you know, I've reviewed a lot of those. And fortunately, in a lot of cases, we're able to move those into potentially a fixed indexed annuity or potentially somewhere else. Ultimately, we want the best interest of the client. So I'm always happy to give people a second opinion. We can look at that annuity, whether it's a fixed, whether it's a variable annuity, and we can really drill down on the underlying fees that are there. And also, depending on the length that someone's had the annuity, because, you know, if they've only had the annuity for a couple of years, it may not make sense to do anything with it quite yet, because there may be some penalties involved. So, you know, it's a unique situation to each person that I meet with and talk to. And, you know, fortunately, if it's available, if it's something that we can do, we'll help. But again, there's no cost to do that. You know, we're here to help. We're here to give the analysis. We're going to pull it out. We're going to drill down and find those fees, and we'll explain it to you so that you're on the same page with me and that we understand what you're paying and what you're also getting for what you're paying. So is it worth it, really, is what it boils down to. A couple of other kinds of annuities. You got a deferred immediate annuity. So one's called a single premium immediate annuity. So if you have a lump sum of money and you need that certain amount of income right then and there, starting next month or 2 months from now, you know, insurance companies will do that. Those are difficult. It's a single premium immediate annuity. It's very difficult to shop those. And the amount can be paid out over different cycles. So different ways you can receive that money. But, you know, so the immediate, the deferred, you know, the ones that I deal with mostly are deferred annuity, Sam, where people are going to take a lump sum of money. We're going to put it into that fixed indexed annuity today. And the plan is they're not going to get to it until a certain amount of time passes, and they're going to let it grow and also protect the principal as we go.
So if you're interested in protecting and growing your wealth, putting a portion of your portfolio into a fixed indexed annuity could be right for you. And you can schedule a consultation with Woody, the Buckeye Advisor, today just by heading over to thebuckeyeadvisor.com. Again, that's thebuckeyeadvisor.com. And Woody, we talked about this a bit in the first segment, but when someone reaches out, schedules an appointment with you, what's that process like for them?
Yeah, really, it's pretty simple. We can do a few minute phone call so I can really get a feel. You know, most people prefer that we meet face to face, and you know, they like to say back in the days when doctors did house calls, I'm a financial advisor that actually does house calls. I will actually come to you. We'll sit down at your kitchen table, and I'm just going to simply get to know you and really understand your overall situation. It's not just a one and done deal. There's got to be constant communication. So we're going to get to know you up front, and I'm going to learn about you, really understand the situation, make notes. Then I'm going to do research on options and things, and we're going to determine fees. If there's something we're trying to do an analysis of your current portfolio, we can do that. We have risk questionnaires that I can send out and get those filled out, and we can find the right portfolio based on the right amount of risk that's good for you, not what your advisor thought you wanted or not what the advisory firm that you're currently with needed to put you in to fulfill their monthly commitments to, you know, a mutual fund company. So that's where we're going to try to separate ourselves, is that one-on-one constant communication. And as an independent advisor, I'm not beholden to any mutual fund companies or anything else that's going to require commitments as far as the amount of money that we put there.
So you can get in touch with Woody and schedule a meeting with him today at thebuckeyeadvisor.com or give him a call at 937-974-6201. Again, 937-974-6201, and online at thebuckeyeadvisor.com. And you can find the phone number online at thebuckeyeadvisor.com as well. Well, with the time that we have left, we've got about 6-7 minutes left here in the show. We want to go over 5 important things to own during retirement. Of course, you want to have a portfolio of assets that's structured to pay you income during retirement, but there's sort of some fundamental things that you'd like to own during your retirement years. And I'll start off with 1. And Woody, that's a reliable vehicle, right? You don't want to have to rely on people to get rides.
So true. I mean, public transportation is there, but not something that most people want to really be forced to rely on, even if it's just to go, you know, to visit a family member, go to the store, whatever. You definitely want to have your own personal vehicle, preferably paid off, preferably in good running order by the time that you get to that retirement stage in your life. Although, as we talked about earlier, you're going to live longer in retirement. So the vehicle you retire with is more than likely not going to be the only one you own in retirement.
Yeah. And just having that reliable vehicle, you know, to me, I think about the word freedom. You know, think about the first time any of us ever got behind the wheel in our teenage years, how much freedom we felt like we had when we could, you know, go and do what we want when we want. And I think it's the same thing for retirees. You want to be able to have that freedom because you've got the time now. And, you know, so number one on our list is a reliable vehicle. And number two kind of makes sense. It's a home. You want to have a roof over your head, right?
You do. You know, and if you're fortunate enough, and we talked earlier in our first segment about the home prices and how everything has gone up dramatically over the last few years, you know, with inflation, and that the housing market has just gone out of sight. But we are starting to see a correction in the housing market. Applications are down 10-12% for new home financing. So it's starting to correct itself. I mean, having a home, preferably one that you own, a single family, would be tremendous. And some people I know like to own rental property. They have no trouble with buying a double and sharing one side with a renter and having their own home on the other side. So it's a big asset, and it's really the biggest purchase you make in your lifetime, you know, when you choose to buy a home.
So number one, reliable vehicle. Number two is a home. And number three is an emergency fund. And this is important, Woody, not just for retirees, but pre-retirees getting ready for retirement, and really anyone at any age, right?
It really is. And it's funny because, you know, the standard, you know, 4, 6, 8 months of expenses in reserves, you know, I've heard all of those. Personally, I recommend 6 months at a minimum. But it's funny, I've got some clients that depending on the day or week that you talk to them, they have enough to pay 5 years of expenses. And we joke, and I know what their comfort level is. So the discussion usually is pretty short. Do you want to do anything with all of that money you have in checking? I do not. I'm comfortable with that. So we leave it there. But an emergency fund is huge to have.
Number three on our list of the five important things to own during retirement: separate money. Woody recommends 6 months of expenses set aside and in a liquid form. So in a checking account would work, just so you can have immediate access to it should you need it for an unforeseen expense. And kind of, you know, tailing off of that and unforeseen expenses, number four on our list is insurance.
Yeah, insurance is a big one. You know, I mentioned earlier in segment one about how important it is and how I like to see myself as kind of a one-stop shop for folks. And to really have an advisor that understands the financial aspects of your life as well as the insurance needs, you know, even if it's an employer plan, I've helped people that are pre-retirees figure out which employer option that they're presented with for the health insurance is the best one that makes the most sense for them, based upon their own health conditions, their own health issues, and the amount of money potentially out of pocket for those. So health insurance is a big one. Obamacare has definitely resulted in changes over the last 11, 12 years. It's helped some, and it's not been as beneficial to others. So insurance is a big one. Health insurance as well as life insurance.
Absolutely. And the last one on our list of things that you want to own during retirement, I'll give you the full list before we give the last one: reliable vehicle, number one, a home, number two, number three is an emergency fund, number four is insurance, and number five is your schedule, because retirement is about enjoying that life that you worked so hard to build, right?
It really is. And, you know, there are certain four-letter words that I don't say and that people don't want to hear, but there are certain four-letter words like time, T-I-M-E. The value of time cannot really be stated in words and measured. And, you know, when you work for 30, 40 years, in some cases more, you don't want to go back to work. And regardless of what's going on, and you have friends, you have family, most of the people that I work with don't want to stare at a stock market update all day long, wondering, am I going to be able to do what I like in retirement? Am I going to be able to travel? Am I going to be able to spend enough time with kids and family, grandchildren and great grandchildren even down the road? So, you know, time is the greatest measure. That's the greatest gift that we can have. And we're blessed every day to have it. And most people feel like they don't have enough of it.
And we've got just about a minute left in the show, Woody. Episode number one of the Buckeye Advisors coming to an end. So I turn it over to you for the final word and let people know how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. This first episode has been super enjoyable, and I am very, very happy and fortunate and blessed to be here. You know, my website is thebuckeyeadvisor.com. My phone number is 937-974-6201. You can call, you can text, you can email from the website. The email address is woody@thebuckeyeadvisor.com. Again, there's no obligation, there's no cost in talking or meeting with me. We're just going to find out where you're at, where you want to be, what your goals are, and then we're going to work to get you there.
Fantastic. Thanks for listening to the first episode of the Buckeye Advisor. We'll be back same time, same place next week, and have a good day. Thanks, Woody.
Thanks, Sam. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Buckeye Advisor. You deserve to work with an experienced and licensed expert who will strategically work to protect and grow your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation with Woody, visit thebuckeyeadvisor.com or pick up the phone and call 937-974-6201. That's 937-974-6201. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and the Buckeye Advisor are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.